the radio and also played the role on the television series, Mr. Willard Waterman.
Thank you very much. You're a wonderful group. And Blair Wallister, who was up here a little while ago, could have told a story about me like I told about him yesterday afternoon. We'll discuss that later. It's a great pleasure to be here. I haven't stopped talking since I got here Thursday night. I hope everything that Kildee has to say tonight comes out of the right corner of the mouth. It's a great pleasure to be here. It's a great pleasure to have all these wonderful people here on the stage with me. And I hope we can do justice to a very good Gildersleeve script. Thank you.
We are triply blessed this evening because not only do we have Willard Waterman, but we have two other members of the actual West Coast, California, Gildersleeve cast, playing the part of Leela Ransom, Gildy's fiancée, is an actress who played it opposite Willard Waterman and Hal Perry, and we also remember her as Mabel on the Jack Benny Show, Mabel the telephone operator. Would you please welcome Shirley Mitchell. We thought for a while those would be the only two from the actual Gildersleeve cast we would be able to have with us. And then we discovered, living in New York City, an actress who played the role of Marjorie, in fact, who played it in this particular episode when this was aired. This was the third episode of Gildersleeve that she worked on as Marjorie. We probably know her even better from A Date with Judy. Would you please welcome Louise Erickson. Okay, one of the hardest roles to cast in this show is the part of the druggist Petey. The Gildersleeve radio series was blessed to have two wonderful actors play Petey, and we're blessed tonight to have an incredibly versatile actor who's been to all of our conventions, I believe, Mr. Jackson Beck. Playing the part of Judge Hooker is a longtime friend and supporter of this convention, Mr. Sidney Sloan. Playing Walter Tetley's old role as Leroy is Ruth Franklin. If you don't recognize her, she was one of the Campbell kids. You were all the Campbell kids. Bertie, the wonderful maid of Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, is played in tonight's broadcast by Evie Juster. Yay! Playing the part of the woman in the hardware store is the woman who originated the role of Wilma Deering and Buck Rogers and played many, many roles on radio through the years. She was one of the earliest veterans, I have to say, of radio. She were in shows as early as 1930-31. Miss Adele Ronson. Yay! Playing the role of Frank, the proprietor of the hardware store, is a man who acted on Columbia Workshop and other series, but is best known as an announcer. His son is currently starring on Broadway in Arsenic and Old Lace, and
he himself announced such shows as Ellery Queen, It Pays to Be Ignorant, The Shadow, and he hosted, emceed a marvelous quiz show, game show called Quick as a Flash, Mr. Ken Roberts. Yeah. Glad to have you here. And playing the part of the clerk in the hardware store scene is Gilbert Mack, who we're very happy to have with us tonight. We have one last member of our cast, someone we've been trying to get out here for years. Gildersleeve was, of course, sponsored by Kraft, and we have with us tonight the craftiest announcer of them all, Mr. Ed Herlihy. Once again, please refrain from flash photography. Beyond that, we are about to go live on the air.
Kraft presents the Great Gildersleeve.
Well, hello there.
The Kraft Cheese Company, makers of parquet margarine and a complete line of famous quality food products, presents Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve. Kraft brings you The Great Gildersleeve every week at this time, written by John Whedon and Sam Moore. Music performed by Rosa Rio. And we'll hear from The Great Gildersleeve in just a moment, but doesn't it sound good to hear that good old cheery Gildersleeve greeting again? Back on the air. And it's good to be back telling you about another good friend, one of America's favorite spreads for bread, delicious, nourishing parquet margarine. If you haven't tried parquet margarine lately, don't let another meal go by without adding its flavor goodness to the other wholesome foods you eat. Your whole family will go for the fresh, delicate flavor of parquet because it tastes so good on piping hot breakfast toast, dinner rolls, bread, and muffins. Besides being wonderfully good to eat, parquet is one of the best energy foods you can serve. And remember, to every pound of parquet, Kraft adds 9,000 units of important vitamin A. So bring good cheer and good nutrition to your table. Buy and serve parquet. P-A-R-K-A-Y. Parquet margarine, made by Kraft. Yes, Kraft makes parquet. Now, how goes it with the Great Gildersleeve? Well, sir, his old opponent, the mayor of Summerfield, has been warming up his campaign for re-election, and his first political move was to oust our friend from his position as water commissioner. But was Gildersleeve downhearted? Yes. For a time. But then came a long-distance phone call from his old chum, Fibber McGee. Fibber, it seems, had a proposition.
It sounds very interesting. I'll be hearing from you then, huh? Yeah, much obliged, McGee. So long.
What is it, Uncle?
Yeah, McGee and I are going in to make $1,000,000.
Uncle, darling, you're not joking.
Yeah, of course I'm not joking. $1,000,000 is nothing to joke about.
$1,000,000?
$1,000,000? That's more than I make in a year.
Well, keep this to yourself, Bertie. And all of you. Mum's the word on this until we're ready to announce it.
Oh, yes, sir.
How are you going to knock off the million, Uncle?
We're not going to knock it off, my boy.
We're going to be into business, McGee and I.
What kind of business, Uncle Moore?
We're manufacturing. An invention of McGee's.
Mr. McGee, an inventor?
Oh, yes. McGee's a great tinkerer. And a smart little apple, too. He always was. And I always said so.
What's he invented?
Well, he couldn't tell me over the phone. The patent is pending. But he's written me a letter all about it. He says it can't miss.
Think $1 million. Why, with a million...
Hey, Unc!
Yes?
Will you buy me a bike now, will you, Unc? I mean, what will you do it?
No, no, Leroy, I will not. I've told you time and again, bicycles cost money. Well, why not? After all, why not?
Sure.
Yeah, I had a bicycle when I was your age.
Oh, gee, Unc, you are super.
You don't have to strangle.
Oh, but gee, thanks, Unc. I mean, thanks.
No. I want you to understand, Leroy. If I buy you this bicycle, you'll have to take better care of it than you did the old one.
Oh, I will. I really will. I'll take super care of it.
Yeah, and not leave it around where it'll get stolen.
Oh, I won't. Not this one. The old one wasn't much good, though. I mean, that's why I...
The old one was excellent.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I paid $19 for it.
Yes, sir.
We'll be lucky if we can find one as good.
Okay, yes, sir. I mean, it was pretty good. It was all right. It was super.
Yeah. Another thing you'll have to promise me about Leroy, if you're to get this bicycle...
I promise!
You'll have to study your music lesson every day as soon as you get home from school.
Oh, I will. Yes, sir. And I'll keep at it until I get really perfect.
Yeah, that's right.
No running out in the middle of it.
Yeah, well, I see you get the idea.
Yeah. You know, Unc, it's funny. I'm getting so I kind of like music now.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Marjorie, you've been very quiet, my dear. What do you think of your old uncle? After all these years, suddenly striking it rich.
I was just thinking.
Yeah? About what?
Do you think pink is too young for me?
Pink? Pink what?
Well, for a dress. I was designing one in my mind, and I thought of pink net. But then I decided maybe it would be too young. What do you think, Bertie?
Oh, I like pink. Pink is mighty pretty.
Funny, last year I couldn't stand pink. Now all of a sudden I like it again. At least I think I do. I read somewhere that pink is coming back.
Where's it been?
Yeah. I think Marge looks better in yellow.
Yellow?
Yeah, you know, that yellow suit of yours. I like that.
But that's 2 years old.
I don't care. I like it.
You look pretty in that.
Leroy, I didn't think you ever even noticed.
Yeah, nobody's better looking than you when you wear that suit.
Leroy, that's very sweet of you.
By George, that's the way I like to hear you talk. Why can't you always be like that, you two, instead of picking fights with one another?
Who picks fights? I never pick a fight. But when Marge makes some crack, well, naturally, I don't
make a crack.
Well, you usually do.
Don't. If you were so...
Now, old children. Getting back to the dress. Why don't you go down to Hogan Brothers, my dear, and see what they've got? School will be starting next week, and you probably need some clothes.
Oh, but what I had in mind wasn't exactly a school dress. It was more of a formal.
Oh? Well, pick up a few school dresses, too, while you're there.
Oh, okay.
Well, I never get such attention when I was poor. Well, they love me for all of my money. Bertie, you haven't made any requests yet. Isn't there something you need?
Well, Yes, sir. There is just one thing. Now, I don't like to mention it.
No, you name it, Bertie, and it's yours. Hang the expense.
Well, sir, if you could just fix the cord on that electric iron you've been going to fix the last 2 months,
If
you could fix it so it don't spark at me every time I touch it.
No, I'll do better than that, Bertie. I'll get you a new iron.
Oh, no, you don't need a new iron, Mr. Gilsleeve. Just a cord. Now, if you could just...
Just forget the iron, Bertie. I'll tell you what I'll do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get you a new washing machine. Doggonest washing machine you ever saw. With shock absorbers and a built-in radio.
Well, that's fine. That's fine, Mr. Gilsleeve, but what am I going to iron with?
Well, there are going to be a lot of changes around here, though. You know, Marjorie, you were saying the other day we ought to fix this place up a little. Well, I may do that. I just may do that. I might even sell this house and buy a new one. A bigger one.
Oh, Unky, darling.
Yes?
While we're on the subject, I seem to have spent all my allowance.
Yes?
Well, what would you suggest?
Well, it looks to me as I just have to raise your allowance, doesn't it?
Hey, that's no fair.
No, yours too, Leroy.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah. All right, George, everybody's after my money. I haven't even made it yet. Well, I will. You watch.
Is Mr. McGee going to make $1 million, too?
Oh, McGee will get his fair share. And not a cent more.
Who's going to be the boss?
Well, I'll be president, naturally. Who else? You don't think a little squirt like McGee? Yeah, just like him to try it, though. You just like McGee to... Well, by George, we'll sell that right at the start. He isn't going to pull anything like that on me. I'll see my lawyer. I'll go see him the first thing in the morning.
Well, Gildy, glad you dropped in. Hang up your chair and take a hat.
Now, no small talk, Judge. I'm in a hurry.
I tried to line up a job for you this morning.
No, I'm not interested.
I spoke to Frank Babcock. I thought...
I don't need you speaking to Frank Babcock or anyone else. I'm known in this town.
All right, Gildy. Sit down, won't you?
Well, I haven't got time to sit down. You know how to draw up a partnership contract?
Sure I do. Any dumb lawyer can do that.
Well, then I came to the right place. Now, let's get started.
Just wait till I get the form. Here. Who you are going to go into the partners with, Gildy?
Yeah, a friend of mine from Wistful Vista, Fibber McGee.
Yeah.
I want you to draw up a partnership contract for me and McGee, and then I've got to find an office right away.
All right. What kind of business is it going to be?
Yeah, I don't know yet exactly. Not exactly. I'm expecting a letter this afternoon that'll give me all the details.
All right, I'll leave that blank. How much money are you putting into it?
None of your business.
I'm only asking you as a lawyer. It's customary for each partner to put in so much money.
Yeah, well... I don't even know how much McGee's putting in yet. Just leave that blank.
All right. Now, name of the firm, McGee and Gildersleeve, or Gildersleeve and McGee?
Yeah, I like the second one better. But it's not perfect. Just leave that blank. Judge, McGee's a pretty nice little fellow, you understand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, clever and better and all that. I've known him a good long time. One of my best friends. Just the same, I wouldn't want him to have too much to say about the business. Can you fix that?
I don't know, Gildy. Partnership is an equal proposition.
Yeah, I know. But can't you slip in some little clause so that if it comes to a showdown, I'm the boss?
No, Gildy. It can't be done.
Some lawyer. All you know how to do is fill out forms.
Well, what do you expect? You don't even know what business you're in.
Yeah. Now, listen. McGee has an invention, Judge. Now, what kind of invention does a smart inventor make today?
Time to find out.
Bang, 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 Judge.
Oh, you think you might get some government contracts filled in?
Do I? That's why I need an office.
You want a suite of offices?
Yeah, possibly. Might need a whole building.
I don't know of any whole building that was available right now.
You might have to build. On this kind of thing, there wouldn't be any trouble with priorities, you know.
Oh, naturally, naturally. Now, there's a string of little stores down there next to...
Here, wait a minute, Horace. Wait a minute. That gives me an idea. Why not the Gildersleeve block? I'll occupy one building, and we'll rent out the rest. Make a lot of money that way.
Golly, I'll see if I can get you an option on that property this morning.
You do that, Judge. Say, I thought a name for the firm. Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve and Associates.
Great! Great!
All right, I'll be in touch with you, Horace. In the meantime, keep this under your hat.
Don't worry, Gildy. Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, or possibly boom, boom, boom. So long, Judge. Say, that must be the postman, Bertie.
Oh, the postman don't ring, Mr. Gildersleeve. But I'll go see.
Yeah, maybe a registered letter. After all, it is important.
Well, good afternoon, Bertie.
Oh, afternoon, Miss Ransom.
Viva. She's heard I'm rich.
Well, come on in, Miss Ransom. You'll find Miss Gildersleeve in the parlor.
Oh, well, good afternoon, Throckmorton.
Well, hello, Viva. I'm not a millionaire yet, you know.
Well, darling, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you must have heard. One of the children must have told you.
Told me what?
Oh, just told me that.
Told me what, darling?
Now, don't let this get around.
Yes?
But I expect to be a big manufacturer pretty soon. My friend Fibber McGee has made an important invention.
Oh, my, how exciting. What is it?
Well, I can't tell you. Kind of a military secret.
Oh?
But it's going to be very big.
Oh, you'll be an important man now, won't you?
Well, I guess so. Yes, I presume so.
Well, I suppose you'll forget all about the little girl that lives next door.
I don't know. Man's got to have a little fun. Even a tycoon. There's a time for work and a time for play. Let's play, Leo.
Oh, now, Throckmorton, I declare you're terrible.
Leo, I am not.
Oh, now, you stop that.
Hey, why should I? It's your fault.
I've never heard of such a thing in my life. Now, what did I do?
You left your ears sticking out.
Oh.
Those little pig ears.
Oh, now, you get away from me, Throckmorton. You now stop it.
Leo, now, Leo, be reasonable.
I'll tell you, now listen. You be quiet for a minute. I'll play for you.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Someday I'll find you. Moonlight behind you. True to the dream I'm dreaming. As I draw near you, you'll smile a little smile.
Oh, Throckmorton.
Yeah. What's the matter?
Oh, Throckmorton, darling.
No, you don't.
What do you mean?
You know.
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, none of that love stuff.
Oh.
I mean, we must let this get serious.
Well, mercy, who's getting serious? Not me, I assure you.
Yeah, well, as long as that's understood, you all know how it is with us tycoons. When we're working, we work hard. When we play, it's all play.
Well, now, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Well, you don't understand. All I'm out for, Leela, is a good time. I'm no good.
You're a cad.
Sure, I'm a cad. A playboy.
Well, nobody loves to play any more than I do.
Fine. Now, if we...
Excuse me, Mr. Gildersleeve. Here's the mail. The postman left it at the back door.
Thank you, Bertie.
Oh, yes, sir.
Say, it's a letter from McGee.
Oh?
Y'all about the invention. Let's see. Dear Throcky, I sure was glad to hear you say you'd go partners with me on my invention. I believe we'll make a barrel of money out of it, and I'm glad you're in on the ground floor. The invention does not use any scarce materials. It can be made of plastics, which is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's a good chance the government will be interested.
Yeah.
After all, the Army and Navy need mousetraps just as much... Mousetraps!
Mousetraps? Is that the invention?
A plastic mousetrap. I might have known that's all he'd think of, a rat like McGee.
Oh, darling, I'm sorry if you're disappointed.
From millionaire to pauper. 5 minutes ago, I was wealthy. Now I'm just anybody, middle-aged, looking for a job. It's quite a come-down, Leela. Mila?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear what I said?
Well, darling, it doesn't make any difference to me, Throckmorton.
Really, Mila?
Of course not, silly. You're the same man you were 5 minutes ago, aren't you?
Sure. I guess so.
Well, and I'm the same girl. The kind of girl who believes in sticking to a man when he's in trouble.
Mila, maybe I was wrong. Yeah, I was wrong. I was never cut out to be a playboy.
Oh, Throckmorton.
Yes, sir. A man should be serious about women. Women are a serious business.
You think so?
I sure do. Now let's get down to business. The great Gildersleeve will be with us again in just a few seconds. These days, we're all apt to have our ups and downs trying to balance the family food budget. So it's wise to choose foods high in nutritional value, let low in cash and ration point cost. Surely one such food is economical parquet margarine, the delicious, nourishing spread for bread that's made by Kraft. High in food energy value, fortified by Kraft, so that a very pound of it contains 9,000 units of important vitamin A. Parquet margarine is a downright economical aid to a good family nutrition. Think of it. Parquet provides these important food elements. It requires only 2 ration points a pound. And parquet's fresh, delicate flavor is another fine aid to good nutrition because it makes bread, rolls, and crackers taste so good. So keep appetites up and help keep your food budget down. Buy economical parquet, P-A-R-K-A-Y. Remember, delicious, nutritious, nourishing parquet margarine is made by Kraft. And now let's get back to poor old Gildersleeve. With the props knocked out from under him by McGee's letter, and his castle of dreams tumbled about his ears, he faces at last life's stern reality. In desperation, he has swallowed his pride and decided to follow up a lead on a job that Judge Hooker gave him. So, we find him now entering Frank Babcock's hardware store.
Yeah. Now, madam, what can I do for you?
Excuse me. Can you tell
just
me where...
Just a minute. I was here ahead of you.
Yeah, I know. I was just asking.
Then don't try to shove in ahead.
I don't wish to buy anything, madam. I was merely asking the man where I could find the proprietor, Mr. Babcock.
Frank? Oh, he's around somewhere. And it... Oh, Frank!
Some people have no manners.
Oh. I guess he's down in the cellar. Come this way, will you?
Listen, you were waiting on me.
I'll be right back, madam. Keep your bonnet on.
You gross.
We get plenty of them. Frank, you down there?
Yeah?
Man up here to see you.
Oh, for Christ. What is it now? Oh, I'll be up.
He'll be up.
Oh, thanks. I'll wait. Not much of a place he's got here. Has a lot of changes made. Looks like a junk shop. Oh, Mr. Babcock?
Yeah?
My name is Gildersleeve. Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
How much are these dishcloths, please?
Those, lady? Those are 25 cents.
25 cents for a dishcloth? A golden ear.
Well, there's a war on, lady. That's the price. What can I do for you, bud?
Oh, my name is Gildersleeve, and I was
told... Hey, Frank!
Yeah?
What's the price on these here nails? They're not marked.
Oh, make it 10 cents. Now, is there something you wanted?
Yes. Could we step into your office so we can have a little privacy?
Well, I haven't got an office. This is where I do my business. If there's something you want to talk about, let's have it.
Yeah, well, I... Oh,
Ye gods. I come over here because Judge Hooker told me you were considering...
Oh, you're the fella. Well, as I told the judge, I did have an opening. Can't get hardware now with the war, so I'm trying to build up the feed and fertilizer end.
Fertilizer?
Yeah. I needed a salesman with a car to go around.
Salesman?
Yeah. Well, I hired a fella yesterday. Of course, maybe he won't work out. You might come back in a week.
Yes, and I might not. Good day, Mr. Babcock. You... Why don't you clean up your store? Oh, well, something will turn up. Yeah, something's bound to turn up. Yeah, but when? Yeah, well, just to cut down, that's all. And tell the kids. And Bertie.
Uncle Mort, is that you?
Yeah, Glumly, it's me.
Close your eyes before you come in.
What for?
Close them.
Yeah, all right. They're closed.
Oh, wait a minute, Miss Marjorie. Can I get it buttoned?
Yeah, what is this?
There.
All right, you can look now. Surprise!
Well, my goodness, that's quite a dress.
Well, don't you like it? Don't you think it's pretty?
Yeah, of course it's pretty.
I found it at Hogan's, only $19.95. I didn't have to have it altered a bit. You don't think it's too long, do you, Bertie?
Well, if you ask me, it's just right. I like it better than the other one.
The other one?
Well, of course, that's just for sportswear, really. If I can find a coat to go with it, I think it'll be very smart, though.
Marjorie.
Of course, this is the one I love.
Marjorie, there's something I have to tell you. You too, Bertie.
Oh, yes, sir.
And Leroy, where is he?
Oh, he's around somewhere. Leroy.
Oh, Leroy.
Is that you, Unc? I'll be right down.
Yeah.
Hey, why didn't you tell me Unc was home? Unc, I found it. It's a pip. Boy, it is super.
Hey, what you found what?
Down at Fred's Fudge Shop. This is the one, Unc. It's a Daisy Flyer. Balloon tires, sand, new departure brakes, and genuine rubber pedals. Boy, you should see it. You want to come down with me now and see it? How about it? Fred said he'd hold it for me, and it's got a bell, too. A bell!
Leroy, will you light for a minute? I want to speak to you.
Okay, shoot. But after, then we'll go down and see it, huh?
You know, I'm afraid not, my boy.
What?
Well, I hate to disappoint you, Leroy. You too, my dear. But the fact is, I guess I was a little over-enthusiastic about Mrs. McGee's invention.
You mean we're not going to make $1 million?
Yeah, I'm afraid not, my boy.
Well, don't you care, Uncle Mort. We don't need $1 million.
Sure, what's the difference? So long as we're rich.
But we're not going to be rich.
Okay, so we're not rich. Who is? You know, the good thing about this bicycle, it's got to stand like a motorcycle.
Hey, Leroy, I don't think you understand. This means no bicycle.
No bicycle?
Yeah, I'm afraid not. You have to cut down. We're all going to have to cut down all around. Now, me, I'm giving up cigars.
Miss Gillespie.
Yes, Bertie?
I suppose this means I ain't never going to get that iron cord fixed.
Yeah, Bertie, I'll fix that this very evening, if not tomorrow morning. Now, my dear, that's a very pretty dress, and
I'll send it back, Uncle Mort. I'll send both of them back.
Well, now...
I don't need any dresses. I've got lots of dresses. I just bought them, that's all.
You know, I could choke McGee.
Oh, I'll wrap that up for you, Miss Marjorie.
It's all right, Bertie. I can do it.
It's all right about the bike. I don't need a bike. I can walk to school.
Oh, that's very manly of you, Leroy.
Yeah, I'm not like some kids, you know, scared to walk to school. I like to walk, doggone it. You need any help there, Marge?
Oh, I can't stand this. I think I'll go for a little walk, folks. Be right back.
Where are you going, Unc?
Oh, just down at the corner for a cigar.
I thought you were giving up cigars.
Well, a very cheap cigar.
Hello? sleeve.
Hello, Phoebe.
Hot enough for you?
Yeah, let me have a cigar, will you?
Cigar it is. The usual, I suppose.
No, I'm thinking of making a change. Let me try one of those Florida whatchamacallits there. The green ones. I hear they're very good.
Well, they're cheaper.
Yeah, I'll try one.
You're the customer. Match.
Thanks. Yes, I have a little appointment today, Phoebe.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, Chief!
You say you had the disappointment, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yes, and this cigar's another one. But I suppose I'll have to get used to them. Phoebe, did you ever have a fellow you considered a friend? Did you ever him call you up and tell you had a great invention that was going to make you a pot full of money? And then when the letter came, it turned out to be nothing at all?
No, Mr. Gildersleeve. I can't say that I have.
Well, that's what happened to me.
Would it be out of place to ask who was the friend?
It was no friend, Petey. It was Piver McGee.
Oh, Mr. McGee. He seemed a very pleasant sort the only time he came in here.
Well, those are the ones you can't trust, Petey. The pleasant ones. The smiling ones. Why, McGee told me this invention would make us both $1 million. And what did it turn out to be? A mousetrap. A plastic mousetrap. The most useless thing in the world.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't. You may not be aware of it, Mr. Gildersleeve, but this country has quite a mouse problem today. Of course, they're keeping it quiet till after the election, but it's more serious than people know.
Petey, you're kidding.
No, I'm not. I have a mouse problem right here in the shop.
Why don't you keep a cat?
He used to keep a cat, but I had to let him go. He kept rubbing up against the electric eye there at the door and ringing the gong. Darn thing drove me crazy. Wish I had him back, though. Stuff cotton in my ears.
All right, get some traps.
That's just it, Mr. Gildersleeve. There are no traps.
No traps?
There's no metal to make them with.
Why, George, I never thought of that.
And no rat poison. The Army's using all the chemicals.
Petey, do you know what this means?
Well, it means the mice be all over the place.
It means the biggest potential market for mousetraps ever conceived in the history of mankind.
Well, you know the old saying, build a better mousetrap.
Yeah, that's what we'll call it, Petey. The Better Mousetrap Company. Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, President. We'll build them by the billions. We'll have a factory in every key city in the United States. We'll have a backlog of 1 million orders. Why, Phoebe, do you realize what this will do for humanity? You know, there are mice right this minute carrying diseases that nobody ever heard of. We'll wipe out whole plagues, McGee and I. And what's more, we'll make $1 million. Give me another cigar, Phoebe. Take this one out and bury it.
You want a better cigar, I take it?
The best you got. Give me six. Yeah, that McGee, I always said he was a smart cookie.
Hi, Nick.
Oh, Leela.
Hello, Throckmorton, Mr. Peavy.
Why, George, Leela, you've come at the right time.
Oh?
Sit down and have a soda. Heck, have a banana split. Have one yourself, Petey.
Oh, no, thank you.
Oh, no, not for me, the Throckmorton. Thank you. My figure. Oh, but I would like a lemonade.
Your lemonade for the lady, Petey. with two stars.
Why, Throckmorton, I don't know whatever's come over you.
Look out for me, Leela. I'm a cat again. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let all the loose talk you've heard here tonight fool you. The world of a plastic mousetrap and the deep freeze and an electronic cooker may be just around the corner. But it's not here yet. We've still got a war on our hands, and one of our greatest dangers is still inflation. It will continue to be a danger until all our industries are back on full-time production of all the new things we'd like to buy. And that won't be until Nimitz and MacArthur have taken Tokyo. You've got to look at it this way. If the cost of living is allowed to go up, the people who will be hardest hit will be the wives and families of the men in the service who are living on fixed allotments, and not very large ones at that. So let's not ask for higher wages or raise the prices of things we have to sell till the war is won and things are back to normal. Victory is coming, but it's not here yet. If we break ranks now, we can still lose this war at home, just as surely as if our men deserted at the front. They won't. Will we? No. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Next week at this time, when Kraft, makers of delicious parquet margarine, brings you another episode of The Great Gildersleeve, starring Willard Waterman, with Shirley Mitchell as Leela and Louise Erickson as Marjorie. Also featured in tonight's cast were Jackson Beck as Peavy, Sidney Sloan as Judge Hooker, E.B. Juster as Bertie, Ruth Franklin as Leroy, Ken Roberts as Frank, Adele Ronson as the woman in the hardware store, and Gilbert Mack as the clerk. This is your announcer, Ed Herlihy. Good night. Till next week.
Feeling very well when he was out on the West Coast, and we were very fortunate to have him here tonight. Actually, we said, you've got to go to the doctor, Willard, and get a little checkup. And so he went, and the doctor said, well, we'll start with your head. So he takes his little light and looked in Willard's ear, and he says, my goodness, what have we here? And he took out a suppository. He says, what is this doing here, Mr. Waterman? And Willard said, oh, dear. So that's what happened to my hearing aid.